This episode is brought to you by Sterling Soap Company. Fellas, you've heard the phrase, look good, feel good, right? But why not add smell good to that too? That's where Sterling Soap Company comes in. First, Sterling Soap is 100% natural and has a wide variety of bath soaps, shave soaps, beard balm, lotions, and cologne. Second, there's a scent just for you. How about burgundy? Yeah, it's more than a color. The Sterling Soap folks blend natural essential oils with hints of mahogany, golden amber, and sandalwood. Or how about D503, an intensely masculine scent inspired by Legend by Mont Blanc. And third, you will feel good about the price. For just a little more than you'd pay at the grocery store, Sterling Soap will leave you feeling clean, refreshed, and ready for whatever's next. Give Sterling Soap a try today. Visit sterlingsoap.com. This day in sports history. It's March 15th, and on this day in 1869, the Cincinnati Red Stockings became the first professional baseball team. Sort of. I say sort of because there is a bit of mythos surrounding this particular team. Were they a professional team? Yes. Cincinnati businessman Aaron Chapman was a proponent of having salaried players. He brought in a cricket player named Harry Wright to be player manager, and in essence the general manager, finding players to play for the Red Stockings. He was paid around $10,000 to organize the team and get players and manage, and then an additional $1,200 to play. Now, were they the first professional baseball team? No. There were paid players and even fully paid rosters prior to 1869. They just weren't talked about. The Brooklyn Athletics predated the Red Stockings with paid players by a year or two. The amateur versus professional debate was raging, with a majority of public sentiment on the side of amateur at this point. And that debate would actually go on through the first quarter of the 20th century. The thing that made the 1869 Cincinnati Red Stockings stand out and become known as the first professional baseball team was that they were fully open about having a roster of fully paid players, and they went all around the country to play. Wright became known as the father of professional baseball. They played 60 games in the season of 1869, and they won all 60. Now, the game looked a little bit different than today, as you can probably imagine. Pitches were delivered underhand at this point, and runs were aplenty. In one game against another team from Cincinnati, the Red Stockings scored 103 runs. They continued their win streak through the first 24 games of the next year. And then, here's the thing. After the 1870 season, the team reverted back to being an amateur team. So the idea that everything leading to Major League Baseball grew out of this team is partly myth. It did inspire other clubs to go full-on professional and be open about it. And is there a through line between what happened on this day in 1869 to today? Yes, but it wasn't the true beginning that so many talk about with this team. For that, we have to look at the National Association. Now, it was a league that was a strong proponent of keeping the amateur element and tried to put the kibosh on paying players. In March of 1871, the professional contingent walked out of the spring meetings being held due to the National Association wanting to remove salaries completely from the game. The professionals stormed out and then decided to start their own league. From that point, the rules and the changes in play would be inspired by the professional movement, heading down the path towards what we know as Major League Baseball now. Also on this day in 1892, another beginning for a Reds team, John Holding was ejected from the Everton Football Club after several weeks of simmering tensions. He was the owner of the soccer ground known as Anfield, with no team to play there. So he decided to create a new team to play at Anfield, and that team would eventually become Liverpool FC in June, with Holding as the club founder, and the germination of that club getting its start on this day 132 years ago. And in 1958, after scoring 12 points and grabbing 15 rebounds in a playoff game against the Detroit Pistons, Cincinnati Royals player Maurice Stokes collapsed on the plane ride home. He had a seizure that left him paralyzed and with permanent brain damage for the remainder of his short life. The seizure was determined to be caused by post-traumatic encephalopathy from an incident 3 nights prior on March 12th. In that final regular season game against the Minneapolis Lakers, he fell to the floor, hitting his head, and he was knocked unconscious. And that was determined to be the beginning of what took place on this night. Stokes had been one of the NBA's best, winning Rookie of the Year in 1955. He was a 3-time All-Star. He led the league in rebounds in his second year, and he was among the league leaders in assists. Boston Celtic great Bob Cousy called Stokes the first great athletic power forward. He was Karl Malone with more finesse. Stokes' teammate Jack Twyman stepped in as his caretaker, helping raise money for his medical expenses and his daily care, and he eventually became his legal guardian. Stokes learned how to type again and was able to communicate a little bit. He became an inspiration to many by keeping his good humor and attitude despite his unfortunate circumstance. Unfortunately, Stokes died in 1970 at the age of 36. And finally, in today's non-sports Did You Know, if you have halitosis or bad breath, eat a slice of cucumber. You know, if you have one handy, that is. That's all for today. More tomorrow on This Day in Sports History. This has been an original Thrive Suite production.
Hey there, Sports History fans.
We've got some exciting news to share with you. 6 of our podcasts from the Sports History Network have made it to the final round of voting for the prestigious Sports Podcast Awards. Here are their shows and the categories. Historically Speaking Sports and This Day in Sports History are both competing for Best Sports Talk Podcast. No Nonsense Old School Weightlifting History is in the running for Best Fitness, Health, and Well-Being Podcast. When Football Was Football is up for Best Sports Documentary Podcast. Wrestling with Heels On has entered the ring for Best Wrestling Podcast. And Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing is fighting for the title for Best Combat Sports Podcast. Now, of course, we need your help to take home the championship for each of these awesome shows. All you gotta do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/vote, cast your vote for your favorite shows, or better yet, all 6 of them. Again, every vote counts, and we gotta show the world how much sports history really matters. So thank you for your support and making Sports History Network the headquarters for sports yesteryear. But again, don't wait. You got to go vote now. That's over at sportshistorynetwork.com/vote.